Hi everyone. It's been a little bit since I've been to a Eureka Lab session. Does Mara usually run these, or is there an agenda for today?
Hi everyone. Usually Mara is here and leading the discussion. We did not have agenda for the last time or meetings as well, so there are no agenda. Oh, here she is.
Mara.
Hello, everybody. Sorry, there's a little cat-related drama today.
No. Oh, no.
Yes, there's a new roommate in town, and she has, as of this very moment, just begun requesting pets. So, sorry about that. Not that she's, close enough for me to just reach over and pet her. I have to strain. But that is the way of the cat. Okay. Well, hello everyone. My
Hello.
goodness, we have some new folks, don't we? Is this just for practice or questions or?
Well, I guess I could speak up. I'm not
Sure.
100% new, Karen White from the Library of Michigan. I lurk around in these parts now and then, but as Aaron from MSU, who is a more regular attendee, I think, we've just migrated to Sunflower. So
Oh, wow.
Aaron did a lot of work with permissions in advance. I didn't so much. So I have cleanup to do and figured I'd see what I could glean from this session.
Okay. For some names that I'll just go ahead and apologize if you've been here before and you've introduced yourselves before. But like I said, it's been a chaotic morning. Sarah?
Hey, yeah, I'm Sarah Jones from Northwest Missouri State University.
Nice.
We're in the part of the Mobius Consortium, which is going live on Sunflower this upcoming weekend.
Great.
So we're kind of in the preparation phase.
Wow. Yep. Jacob, have we met before?
Hello. No, we have not met before. I am
Okay.
also from Northwest State University or Northwest Missouri State University. And I was planning to join the user management SIG in general, and then I
Awesome.
missed the meeting last week. So I know it's
Welcome.
every other week in general.
Right.
And then I saw that we were having this meeting, and like Sarah said, we are going live on Sunday. I am the head of access services here and work with the Mobius Consortium on some enhancements for Folio and some of our other stuff on committees. And then Sarah is our head of technical services. And she's had a lot more time to look at the user permission stuff. So I told her about this meeting and thought we might get some information before we go live.
That sounds great. So, and say and ask, how much do you know? How much have you looked at it?
I've played around some, and when we've had access to the sandbox, so I've been doing some with that. Mostly, I'm not loving how the current permission sets are migrating over. So I'm kind of leaning towards starting from scratch when we go live, but I would be open to what other people have done with that.
So we can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So we did a lot of work in permissions before we did go live. So it actually it I don't know, Karen, if you had the same experience at Library of Michigan, but at MSU, we had a really smooth transition. I was very concerned. We went live. We started migration on the 4th and ended up going live on the 5th of this month. Do you guys, are you hosted by EBSCO?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they gave us a list of things to do before we migrated. And I don't know if we had the same folks or not. So I'm not sure you received the same list, but some of the things they told us to do were to, I don't know if you guys nest permission sets within permission sets. And we did do that. So just as an example, if we had a head of circulation, we would within that role have circulation supervisor permissions set and the circ student permission set just nested right in there. And that causes a lot of problems when you switch over. So you need to unnest all of your permissions. That was one tip they gave us. Another tip was to not have a singular permission assigned to somebody. Every singular permission should become part of a permission set. So we went through all of our staff records and made sure there were no singular permissions outlying. And then there was a third thing. I know there were three. Karen, do you remember what the third thing was?
It's not coming to me.
We did it in the fall, so I'm like, it's been a few months, so I'm trying to remember.
They had you do that when you were still, before
Yeah.
you went to Sunflower.
Yes, and so that's it. It concerns me that you're going live on Sunday. I don't know that you're going to have time to do all that stuff, but if you don't do that, when you migrate, you're going to end up with a bunch of hash rolls, and I don't know if you're familiar with what that means or looks like.
Yeah.
And then you have to do a ton of cleanup. But because we did those things beforehand, we ended up with a lot less hash rolls. We still had them for random reasons, but there were a lot less, and so it made it a lot less cleanup. I mean, we still have cleanup to do. Good news is though that I have not had a person, I should knock on wood, but I have not had a person come to me yet and say, I used to be able to do this and now I can't. So I think everyone has the functionality they need, but these hash rolls still need to be figured out.
So, are you? I'm sorry, I missed it if you said it, Jacob. Are you hosted? Are
We
you
are, yeah,
EBSCO
we are hosted.
So, I can
We,
say, so Aaron
yeah.
and I at MSU and Library of Michigan, we share a tenant. So, we migrated together. Aaron was much better prepared, or her and other people at MSU. But what I will say is that basically, it's been smooth. It's just that when you look at all the permissions, there's a lot of mess in there now. We had some miscommunications at my library and didn't do as much to prepare as we should have. But I also had not heard of anyone not being able to do something that they need to do. So I think you'll function okay probably, but it's just the. There's a lot of mess in as far as the organization behind the scenes. There's all those, what are they called again, Aaron? The what rolls?
The hash rolls.
Yeah, hash rolls. And I think a lot of those that we have are because of Library of Michigan, although I think some of them are MSUs too, right? But
Yeah, I've cleaned up all the MSU ones. There's just Library of Michigan's ones left.
okay. Yeah, I haven't looked in since last week. Obviously, we need to talk. But anyway, I'm just saying that as far as being able to function and people do their jobs, I think you're probably okay. EBSCO runs this. Basically, they've got a program that interprets and transfers them. So it seems to me like if you do as much of the cleanup like Aaron is suggesting to prepare, it will help you have less mess afterward. But I wouldn't
panic about not having done it in the sense that I think people will still be able to do what they need to do. I don't, does that fit with your understanding, Maura?
Yeah, from what I understand, I mean, we have not made the transition yet because we're looking at sunflower in two stages, and we're not going to go to Eureka until after, essentially after the fiscal year rollover. Once the fiscal year has been done, then we'll move to Eureka permissions. But I think that, essentially the tools that I've seen when it comes to taking the current permission sets that you have and turning them into new permission sets, or I'm sorry, capability sets or capabilities. They'll sort of read what you have and then try to map it to how it works in Eureka. And that it's correct that it's going to be more or less what you had, but I anticipate it not being necessarily what we need. For us, we have we started off with very wide-ranging testing permissions and sometimes when staff see something working the way they want it to, they become very resistant when you try to sort of pull things away, even though it's not something that they need or said that they wanted. I'm interested to know more about the cleanup, Karen, that you and Aaron have been doing in the post sunflower ramp up.
So what I've done, I've gone into each hash roll and first try to figure out what is this? What is this? But you can see who it's assigned to, which really helps then. So I can see, okay, I know this staff person and what functionality they should have. So then I go into that user record and look to see if they have the assigned roles that they should have and compare what the roles are to the hash roll. And what I found in almost all cases is that the hash roll was actually just a duplicate thing that could be deleted in our case. So that worked out well. I've just been going through and deleting these hash rolls and then holding my breath and making sure I'm like, okay, who's gonna contact me and tell me I did something wrong? But so far, I have not had any problems with deleting the ones that I've gone through. That's why Karen, I didn't touch any of yours because I don't know your staff and what they need. So I'm like, I'm not touching any of that. So there are still several in there, but that's the cleanup. It's basically looking at each hash roll, trying to discern what role it really should belong to, and it does help that it shows you right there who is assigned that role, and then you can just dig further. But we had, I think, like 157 hash rolls, so it's I mean, it took several days to get through all the MSU ones.
I think for me, part of what's really just overwhelming is that there's so many individual permissions and being clear about, is this permission included in the set this person or not? Yeah, the set that this person is assigned, or will I be taking something away from them if I remove this? Because there's just a gazillion individual permissions, it seems.
Yeah, and just I guess a tip on that is screenshotting exactly what is in the hash roll and
Yeah.
saving that. So if you do think it's something you can delete, you can go ahead and delete it and then you have it saved. So if somebody then comes to you and says, "Oh, I used to be able to do this and now I can't," it's easy to go and see what you did if you're capturing
Yeah,
that thing
good
first.
thought. Good thought, and add it back. Sure.
Because it's very simple to add them back if you delete the wrong thing. One thing, I mean, this isn't really, I don't know if we want to go down this hole, but like the one thing that we had an issue with was every single person who uses Folio as a staff person had to reset their password. And so we ran into problems where folks had their email address tied to two or more accounts. So we have some, I guess we call them fake patrons, where just as an example, we have a book or a shelf of books that have pencil mark that need to be erased. And we don't want to just have them on as available because it looks like they're missing. And so we check them out to this fake patron, this erasing books account. And that account has the email address for our CERC supervisor. So when something's overdue on that account, it goes to her and she knows. Well, obviously her email address is already on her personal account. So when we go to set her password, you send that password reset email, nothing happens. You don't get an error message. She never gets the email. So it's just like, what the heck is going on? And so if you've got that issue, if you have a lot of folks with their email address in multiple accounts, you're going to have to, there's a developer. You can log in as developer and you can reset a password for someone that way, but you're setting the password, so it's not secret. Another thing you can do is take out that email address from the extra accounts and reset the main account, their personal account at least. So that was a little bit of a hang up, but we were able to get our single sign-on up and running after a day. So we just had to really mess with that the first day, and then we our IT folks were able to get single sign-on working.
Aaron, isn't the other way to do the passwords to go into the user account, hit the password reset link, and then copy that link that's provided and email it to the staff person who's having
No,
trouble getting in?
it just doesn't work if you have two email addresses in more than one account. Like if you have the same email address in more than one account, that doesn't work.
Yeah, but that's what. Okay. So when you sent me the link, went into the developer area. I thought you were probably just hitting that reset link in the in my user account.
Because do you have more than one user account?
Yes, I am one of those people who has more than one with my email
It is
address.
your email. Okay. Well, maybe, yeah, maybe,
But
no, Karen, you don't have yours is a different email address.
okay.
Oh,
I
wait,
thought
you have several test
I have a
accounts.
bunch of test accounts, so
Okay. Yeah.
anyway,
So that did work. I guess it, so. Folks, you can do that. You can go in because that's what I did for Karen. I went in and I just clicked that and then I copied the link and sent it to her because it will not email to them. So I did copy and
but
send
the
it.
link will work,
And
yeah.
that did work for you. Okay.
So once somebody in the team is in, that person can then send those out. I did that for some people on our team.
And
Send out those.
we did have to submit a ticket to EBSCO asking for somebody to get. They had to reset passwords for us to get going. No one could get in. So for the first like hour and a half, none of our staff could get in, even though they gave us the email that said you're live. We couldn't get in because nobody had reset any of our passwords. So once EBSCO reset, we could go in and do other people's.
Wow.
Yeah, logging in every time. So this is actually, we tried to go live in Sunflower in December, but it was so catastrophically a failure that they reverted us back to Ransons and we
Oh
ran more
boy.
testing and they fixed more things and we're trying again this weekend.
Wow. Wow.
But in both testing both times and that catastrophic failure, the login issues were definitely a thing that took up a good couple hours. at the beginning of
Which
each
is
time we've
extra
tried.
frustrating because now it sounds like EBSCO knew about that problem a long time ago.
But
it hasn't been fixed yet, is the issue.
Yes. Yeah. So we're a
Oh
little gun shy of
yeah.
going trying this again, but fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. So, Sarah and Jacob, how much have you been sort of like looking around in the Eureka? I just looked. They're not capability sets, they're authorization roles. That's what I was thinking of. Have you kind of looked at them and said, well, this looks kind of like what this thing does?
Yeah, I think it's understandable. And then I don't know if you were here for, I know Scott Peterson came and talked to this group about the way, because we are on the ECS version
Right.
of Folio, which adds, I think, is a large part of what went so wrong the first time we went to Sunflower. That our we have permission sets also that are shadowed that work with the consortium at large. And so I've heard Scott Peterson give his wild explanation of the way that they are mapping everything for that back end side. And looking at them, I think it all makes sense. We were just concerned with when it transfers over. It sounds like they are planning to err on the side of giving people more than giving them less so that no one ever is not able to do something they were able to do before. And then we do have a few people. We have a relatively small staff at our particular library. So it won't take us too long to go through and remake anything we need to. I think our bigger concern is that because we do have, especially hearing now that that was changed beforehand, we do have nesting permissions. We do have like role, because that was the way we were originally told to set it up, was to think of smaller roles and then just nest them together to make more advanced roles. That it's going to end up with a bunch of these hash lines. And is it because it is like one hash line per user in the in Eureka, right? Or do you assign multiple?
It's not per user. There can be a hash rule assigned to several users.
I
So the
think we have
hash lines are for
about
the role.
30 hash rolls looking in the dry run environment. So it's really not too excessive.
No, that's actually really good.
Yeah, I feel like Jacob was saying, one of my concerns is because we had several different levels of staff people do testing in the test environment, and we did pretty extensive testing. We are one of the kind of heavier testing sites for the consortium. So we have done pretty heavy testing as far as, being able to do our jobs. Yeah, like kind of like Jacob was saying, though, my biggest concern is we have one staff member in particular, like that we don't want them to have too much permission. We'd like to really kind of
Yeah.
keep them, in their box of things
got a
that they
handful
can
of
do
those
their
by the
thing,
users.
but and looking at their permissions, that it feels like they gave them kind of
A
very
lot.
excessively more than is what they currently have.
Right. Yeah. When I was first trying to describe, like to somebody, like why I'm securing roles and why I'm trying to set it up, I say that, like I'm defending against three things. There's malice, there's mischief, and there's whoopsie. And, that last one covers almost all of it. Oh, I didn't realize I wasn't supposed to do that. Oh, I didn't realize I wasn't supposed to delete that thing or whatever it was. And, that I'm familiar with the user who just wants to see what can they accomplish. So I understand that that desire to, to be able to just kind of like gently turn them back toward, the things that they're supposed to do. I don't want to quash anybody's curiosity, but at the same time, whoopsie
Exactly.
happens.
Yeah, and I will say I haven't looked through it as thoroughly as I need to. I don't know if you saw this, Aaron, but to me it kind of looked like EBSCO's automated transition was pretty broad in giving permissions, and that's probably why we haven't had anyone not be able to do something. I think I
This is
may need to go in and remove some permissions for people that EBSCO's automated process gave.
it's part of why I wondered if it just would be easier to, especially on some of those, for some of those staff users to just start from scratch. So I'd have more kind of, instead of trying to be like, do I know what this one does if I take it away, or should I just kind of start from scratch? Because I know when you're building one from scratch, it's easier to go kind of app by app and choose which capabilities you want to assign.
Yeah, you
I feel
kind
like
of
it's a
have
little
to.
bit harder to see that when you're trying to edit an existing role.
Well, yeah, and the hard part is that, if you remove a capability from a role, you don't want someone from some other vital part of, like acquisition saying, "Why can't I see funds anymore?"
Right.
Well, then that's probably where what Aaron said is really valuable, at least if you've screenshotted something before you deleted it, so you know what to add back.
I kind of wonder too if, not even touching the ones that migrated over, but just unassigning the person to them. And then if I create something new for them and it just doesn't work, I can just reassign them to the other one until I can figure it out. Was kind of my plan.
Well, isn't there a way that you can take a role and duplicate it? And then
Yes.
you can like, then you have like, you have the role, you can duplicate it, you can remove the person from the old role, assign them to the new role, and then start pulling things out. And
Yeah, like I
then.
said, it's just when I've like played around in there, it is, I find it less, it's not as easily marked out as permissions were, I feel like, for what finding all the ones for the different apps. I feel like it seems from playing around that it was easier going from scratch, but I could just not be familiar enough with them yet to like do it that
Yeah,
way.
I don't know if anybody who's more well versed in creating new ones could demo a little bit, but what I found is that searching for a particular permission or capability, whatever you call it, seemed very difficult. The other thing is, I think I've got a bug or I'm missing something because I'm going to paste something in the chat. I understood. I don't know if you can make that big enough that you'll see it, but that's my patron record, actually. But I understood that we're supposed to still be able to see in the user record permissions that that user has. I forgot what
So you
it's
need a
called.
specific
Yeah.
role to be able to do that.
And I read that in the prep stuff that we had from EBSCO, but when I searched for that role or permission, I couldn't find it. So I was like kind of going in circles because I can't see, that's my own record, but I can't see on anybody's the okay. You're in settings. Okay.
Right. I'm just like, I was just looking at stuff. I called this up. I got one working. Huzzah. And I wanted to see if we wanted to try making a new one out of whole cloth. See how easy it is. Would that, Sarah, would that
Oh yeah, I think it's easier because you can like select application and then you get to like go within that one to find I think if you select one and then like save and close, then you can like grab specific ones for that app, basically.
Oh, I see. Let's do a quick mark and reporting and link data. I'll just grab some things here. And this is just, you know, so it looks like I'm creating a technical services role. And then we have. These are all the capability sets. Okay. And here are settings which are which allow me to look at e holdings and you know, all of the various, all of these things. I'm going to put in an edit here. And we'll just, these are all, okay. Okay. And then the data here is just sort of like mapping what we've already selected. At least that's what it looks like to me, with a few extra bits that were on, that were not available further up. And then you get to these are all obviously executables. Oh, and I guess I have to go. Oh, it needs a name. That's why. Okay. I'm sitting here wondering why why I didn't have a save and close button. But we'll give this a go here. And while I'm here, I think I'm going to see if I can add some more. This is going to be since test user. I'm going to select another application to see if I can find something for users to see if I can give only permission to see who is who can see what is I don't see it. I don't see something for users. That's kind of odd, but I will live with it until I can find the answer.
Yeah, I kind of miss in permissions where you could start typing something and it would
Yeah.
show
That
you the ones that have that in there.
it would
I've been
autocomplete for you.
using the like control F function to help me find things in
Yeah.
those long lists of things.
Exactly. That's it has a search, so but it doesn't seem to help. I mean,
Yeah.
I had the name of the permission. I mean, offhand, I don't remember what it was, but I had been told what permission was needed in order to see permissions in user records,
So I
but
sent in
I
the chat
can't
what I
find
think
it.
it
Oh.
might have been, what the kind of path was.
Karen, can you
Oh, thank you.
log out and log back in, and I might have added what you
Ah.
need.
Okay, thank you. That would help. And then there's another way that I would like to be able to find one specific permission. Of course, I guess it has to be within a role, but this lovely feature where you can reorder the tabs at the top,
Yeah, I can help
actually,
you.
that one is only available if you, I don't even remember which category on the left it was, but I don't even, have that category. It was some
It's in
system
Maura, can you scroll
something.
down on the left on the settings?
Oh, on the left.
It
Yes.
is my profile, Karen. So we got to give you
Yeah,
access to my profile.
right.
And
And
then there you go. Yeah.
I mean that I'm thinking that's something most staff probably would like, at least that have a few tabs.
Oh, yeah.
So, and yet it didn't seem to pull over with anything. So I couldn't figure out how to add it.
I can help you with that, but I don't want to get out of the screen I'm in until you see if what I did helped you or not.
Right.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to log out and log back in. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Well, good. Yeah, I'm afraid this has not been it's not that that exciting, I guess, but have we come up with a way to like download what the out of the box authorization roles look like what they have? I have been so accustomed to, with the Okapi permissions, they're all like specific API calls that are listed in JSON. So I would just like, I would go to our server and I would download them all. And then I'd have like a giant list. And, if I'm looking for a particular API call, then I could see all of the places where it was. But that, of course, meant sifting through a metric ton of API calls. But it was sort of one of those things I could do sort of. It wasn't quickly, but I could find it. And if somebody said, "Oh, I can't do this," I could look at the thing and realize, "Oh, this API call is missing." But I don't know if we have that with Eureka. I've only been able to do that with the Okapi. Interesting. Okay. And as long as I'm here. Oh, at username. Well, who doesn't love an at username? Okay. I'm just going to see what it looks like because I have not had this. I haven't had a chance to look at all this in a really long time. So that's easy. It's the same as always. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing. Excellent, Sarah. I just saw your note in the chat. Brilliant. Brilliant. Okay.
Also, just FYI, I think the users might be in the application app platform complete. I think that's where all the users' capabilities are for the user settings things.
Wow. That's a lot of verbiage.
That is what I miss about permissions. They were just like, I know Sarah, you were talking about that. It's just the readability of them was so much easier with permissions and permission sets.
Yeah, I haven't fully grasped like how they've split these up by like data, procedural settings.
Me either. I tried to get EBSCO to explain it a little bit better, but I have not grasped that.
Sometimes it's like, even if you click manage, does that give you view, edit, create, delete? Is that like basically everything? But then do you also need to double click? Like when there's, I'm never sure if you have to click, like if I click manage, does that automatically give me the other ones?
Yeah,
Or,
that's what was stated in a webinar that I re-watched recently, that if you just click manage, then you've covered all the other four.
Right.
I mean, I think it works, but
Yeah.
that's
Yep.
what I was
I
told.
think that's true.
From what I can see, that's true. It's just as an example, I'm looking at user requests for this admin role, and manage is the only thing clicked. So that, and you can do everything in requests. So yeah, just click manage if you want all.
Cool.
Karen, any luck?
Oh, yeah, I think I messaged you. Yes, I can see user roles now. Thank you.
Awesome. So it is what Sarah had posted there. What I did is I added that to the librarian circ role. Is that fine that all librarian circ people
Yeah,
should have that? Okay. And
that
then
sounds good.
I can go in and add the other one.
Oh, wait, you added it to Librarian Circ, not. Well.
It is, I looked at, it's LM Access Services Circ Librarian. Do
Oh,
you know that?
yeah. That one's good. Yes, thank
That's,
you.
that was the role I thought fit best under your role.
Yes,
So,
sounds good.
and then I will, to that same role, I will add the ability to view my profile and to rearrange your titles or your apps. Is that fine?
Yeah, but I would love to know how you find it.
Why don't we schedule
We
a
can meet.
Zoom call
Yeah.
later off this meeting and let these folks not have to
Well, I mean, I'd
listen
be
to us?
curious to know what permission that is to be able to
Okay,
see that
here.
if you have it.
I'll find the permission real quick because I just added it for my circ staff.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, it just working with these, it's like in concept it makes sense, but they seem way more cumbersome than in the previous system.
Right. The thing is that, I have this feeling that this learning curve is high, but then once we start doing it and we look at what we used to do, we're going to think we were working with sticks and spit and baling wire. We're going to look at it, like a year after you go up, you're going to look at how we used to do it and go, God, how did we manage? But yes, no, I totally it's so easy. And I need to remember to put quotes around easy because what it is familiar. I've learned
Yeah.
how to work around what's there, how to work with it, how to adapt to it. I've adapted me and my thinking to it. And I'm going to have to, readapt, when we go up on Eureka.
Sometimes
And
I think that's the case, but
yeah.
other times I think that in making things more quote unquote user friendly, clickable and those kinds of things, I often find it more challenging because there's it's, previously, as long as you could had some understanding of how the system worked, you could figure stuff out yourself versus having to click through and scroll through tons of extra things that make things quote unquote more user-friendly.
Well, something making something more user-friendly, again, air quotes on that. That I think is just a guess. Because the people who are doing it, they're devs, they don't work with and they don't work exclusively through the UI. And so, it's kind of like, well, what do we a lot of it is just sort of like, a lot of it is guesswork. I personally dislike having to use my mouse or trackpad to point and click to do everything.
That is my biggest complaint as well.
Yeah, it's like, and yet, our previous library system was half-baked and required occasionally a click, sometimes a double click to get what you wanted. And it didn't always take because it wasn't always connected to the back end. So compared to that, Folio is a dream. But at the same time, I do wish I could just, like, I think it was Karen was saying, just start typing and I'd get some options for autocomplete.
So just I just put in the chat, there are three different things you have to do. I'm sorry, I don't know how to do return in the chat to make that prettier. So it's all mushed together, but it's all under settings, the settings portion, and it's all at perform complete. But you're going to want to do the module my profile select or my profile and then select view. And then settings, my profile enabled, select view. And then UI, my profile settings, main nav order. That's the one you select manage. So if you do those three things, you should be able to see my profile in your settings and then see the button or the option within that to manage them.
Okay, I think I have those. Thank you so much. That's awesome.
You're welcome. Yeah, the first day we were kind of playing around after we went live. My head of circ, she was like, "Wait a minute, I thought we could rearrange these in Sunflower." And I was like, "You can, but you got to do something. Let me figure it out." So I had to go through and figure that out because that was one thing the staff was really excited about, is this ability to rearrange these things.
Right.
Awesome. We apparently the most recent patch update that's going through Sunflower, you don't even have to log out anymore to for your any capability set changes to take effect.
Oh, nice. I didn't know
So I
that.
just added that. Yeah, as long as you have the Sunflower, I think it's SP5.
Nice.
And so I was just able to add that and refresh, and I can now change the order of my applications. This is awesome.
It's funny though, I was excited for it as well because I'm in the user app and settings quite a bit, and those are, way at the bottom of the list. I'm like, oh yay, I'm gonna rearrange. So I did. And now I just find myself going to that list and going to the bottom, and I'm like, oh yeah, they're not down here anymore. I'm so used to just opening the whole list now, but it will be nicer. I don't know if you ever try to do any work on your phone, but I just have I have an iPhone, and sometimes when I'm away, somebody's like, oh, I need this thing done in Folio. So it's like, nice, okay, I have the ability to go in and do this. But if you go to use this log into Folio on your iPhone, you cannot see, it's not easy to select users if you have it at the bottom like that. It's not, I have to turn my phone sideways and then scroll all the way down, and you can just see it. So sometimes I can like click, but it will go to tasks. And I'm like, no, I just need one below it, but it doesn't scroll enough. So I'm very excited. I did move users up, so now from my phone I can get to it.
Excellent. Does that mean that iPhones don't do the sideways scroll very well when you're looking at
It
a
It will go sideways, but it just, yeah, I just don't know. It will not go all the way down. And if you have it straight up and down, you cannot see the options for apps. Like, I don't know if it's just my iPhone and my settings. I don't know what's going on, but I have to turn it sideways to even see the apps option. And then, yeah, scrolling was not good, but all solved with this.
Yep. It does make me a little does make me pine a little for the old Gopher interface, if you remember what that used to be. It was early text-based web browsing, and it was awfully handy because it was just like, okay, if you're using just a keyboard, it would give you like the list of things, and you could just use like your little arrow key to go down. And then if you hit the one menu item that you wanted, you hit return and it took you to the next bit. It took you to that or whatever. Although I'm not certain that Folio has sort of a mobile development team. Because I think that's what Gopher is being used for, is sort of like for, mobile device interface. Well, this is great. And I was thinking when I was looking at this, we've had some things that have been kind of like that have been brought up here in the lab. And I'm thinking of, making it a little bit more permanent, on a tips and tricks page in the wiki, in the user management wiki. Would you guys be willing to, like, when you find something out, you can add something to the list. And then, we can kind of,
Yeah.
we can help those who come later. That'd be great. Okay. Well, it's 3 minutes to the hour, so, and there's a second cat in this apartment, and it is now too quiet. So I'm gonna have to
Go
see
investigate.
what chaos has erupted, or is about to erupt. And try to guard against it. It is not whoopsie, but I don't know what it is. It's cats. I don't know, do we get value of this twice a month? If we do, I'll put that out on the Slack channel. If it's the sort of thing that we get value out of, there's been a move among sort of the product council and the SIG conveners. To just like everybody gets the last week in the month, the fourth week, get it off. And you don't have to, there's no meetings that you have to go to for SIGs or councils or anything. So I'll put a poll in the Slack channel to see if we want to maintain having a fourth week meeting, or if we want to stick with the calendar calming that everybody else is doing. But thank everyone for showing up.
Will
And
say I just sent the info to the Mobius consortium that these meetings were happening on the second and fourth Wednesdays.
okay, then the second and fourth Wednesdays it shall be.
Because there might be a lot of, we'll see,
Yeah,
since we are going live on Sunday.
that's true. That's true. We'll be here for you.
good luck.
Yeah.
Thank
Thank
you.
you so much.
Appreciate everyone's insight.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks. Was
We'll
so
be
helpful
interested to
today.
hear how it went. Hang
Yes, exactly.
in there.
Totally.
Fingers
Yes.
crossed.
Okay. Can't wait to hear from you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
All right. Thank
Bye-bye. All
you.
right, bye.